Do you know, okay, a bit of a history lesson. Do you know that women were not, the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022? Think about that and what that talk about progress, you know, better late than never, but progress and what that has done. Because, of course, when, you know, I had a bracket, it's not broken completely, but I won't talk about my bracket. But you know what, just how we love March Madness, and even just now allowing the women to have brackets and what that does to encourage people to talk more about the women's teams, to watch them. Now they're being covered, you know, and this is the reality. People used to say, oh, women's sports, who's interested? Well, if you can't see it, you won't be. But when you see it, you realize, oh,
this is officially a protest, but fires have been started.
I want you to get up right now.
The journalism industry is overrun with elite, underqualified, rich, entitled nepo babies.
How are you, baby? How old are you?
I don't know.
People should not be walking around with masks.
Russian disinformation.
Russian disinformation.
Your stewards.
ObamaWhiteHouse.archives.gov/blog. President Obama's 2013 NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament, March 22nd, 2013. Summary. President Obama is predicting a rematch of the 2012 National Championship game between Baylor and Notre Dame. Last year, President Obama predicted Baylor would win the 2012 NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament, a full 10 years before it was allowed, apparently, Vice President White Claw. The Bears lived up to the billing, winning the national championship over Notre Dame. This year, the president is predicting a rematch. Yeah, a history lesson. Did you know? This gets better, by the way. Zach Parkinson, here's Kamala Harris in 2021, a year where women's college basketball supposedly wasn't allowed to have brackets, tweeting about her husband's women's bracket. Vice President Kamala Harris at VP, congrats to Stanford WBB and their fans on winning it all. Congrats to Arizona BB on a great season. And yes, congrats to the second gentleman. He called it. Yeah. Maybe there should be some people out there listening about why I said yesterday to make her the focal point of this campaign. There's something else, and I think this might be a new feature over on Twitter X, and this is going to be interesting to watch. When Twitter came out all those years ago, it used to just have trending topics, whatever people were talking about, and then they kind of got rid of those for some news stuff, and the news was always kind of from corporate outlets and some progressive outlets, because that's, again, what Twitter had become, pretty much a censorship tool for the intelligence apparatus and corporate media. Please see the next issue of Spectator. I have an entire piece on this. Well, they've kind of changed this up. The trends are gone now, and there's a news sidebar, which they had and then they got rid of a long time ago, but it's Bronny James, Draft in the Transportal, Earthquake Interrupts Haircuts, that's in New York City. Long Island's earthquake, shocker, rail delays due to earthquake inspection. So it's kind of like what's leading the top of the news. And then there's Explore. And there's some interesting topics here. Trump outraises Biden by $10 million. Holland Tunnel, inspection delays expected. Transgender attorney's courtroom bust. March job growth surprise. The Rock's Biden regret, Dwayne Johnson won't endorse in 2024. There's the Harry Potter class chaos, which was, I'm not going to go into all of these because these are all kind of niche topics, and if you're not on the website, God bless you, you don't care. But then they had Kamala Harris's bracket blunder, and I clicked on this, and this is really interesting to me, because instead of community notes, where you have to actively click through it, there's now a sidebar that says Kamala Harris's bracket blunder. So I click on this because I pulled this sound clip for this episode. It was just that good. The video's even better. She looks like a floozy at a happy hour on three or four White Claws hitting on a dude trying to school him on something. Well, at least she's not confident in her stupidity. I guess we've got that going. Hell. Kamala Harris's bracket blunder. You click on it, and right at the top, this is one of those things I automatically know. Washington Post, New York Times, they're going to have a hissy fit over this. People like Taylor Lorenz, they are going to lose their shit over this new feature. Kamala Harris's bracket blunder, you click on it. At the top of this subcategory is an entire paragraph. Kamala Harris's bracket blunder. Vice President Kamala Harris incorrectly claimed that women's college basketball was not allowed to have brackets until 2012, despite the first women's NCAA tournament being held in 1982 and brackets being used since then. The statement has widely been criticized and contradicted by evidence, including Harris and her husband filling out women's tournament brackets in 2021. The controversy has sparked significant discussion on social media platforms. And then under it is some finer print that says, Grok is an early feature that can make mistakes. Verify its output. So here's Twitter X. Grok is its AI language model platform, similar to Google Gemini or OpenAI ChatGPT. And here it is, basically aggregating what people are talking about. And then under that whole paragraph are all of the news outlets playing this clip and commenting on this clip. And this is a really interesting feature to me because this, to me, is something that should be implemented onto social media. You're going to hear, should this continue, and I would not be surprised as early as next week, as tech journals, people like Charlie Warzel, Taylor Lorenz, etc., criticize the platform for doing this. Because if this platform does this, and if it is a real-time news aggregator, which has always been Twitter's real power, the people like Charlie Warzel, a tech reporter at The Atlantic and stuff, we don't need you anymore. And that's where I think you're going to see criticism. They're going to see Twitter's news algorithm, and Grok returned last week, and it promoted roughly far-right extremist content and views and news stories, such as transgender attorney's courtroom bust, The Rock's Biden regret, Dwayne Johnson won't endorse, and Kamala Harris's bracket blunder, not to mention the Harry Potter class chaos, which revolves around the fact that Baylor University apparently has a Harry Potter class where the students had to get up and have a struggle session over J.K. Rowling's views on women and gender ideology. And I'm not going to go into it, but it's getting clowned on. I think it's tragic because these are the student loans we're going to all be paying, by the way. We didn't have to go to PolitiFact. We didn't have to go to the Washington Post because this isn't anywhere to be found on any of those news sites. I checked. But it's right here at the top of what people are tweeting and quote tweeting. And it feels like there's a little bit of authenticity put back into the algorithm. As I said, my piece coming out in Spectator next month, I think it's for the May issue, so it'll be this month, is basically about how this platform is both the worst and the best that it's ever been. And this, to me, is something that I think is intriguingly good. I am super serial curious about how the journos are going to respond to the fact that stories like that are now at the top of this platform, when before, old Twitter's, I don't know, trust and safety board would have never put them up there. I kind of just started laughing because we'll see if their behavior is as predictable as ever. It's April 5th, and I kind of want to start off with a continuation of what yesterday was about. I have some clips from John Kirby that I think are interesting that kind of prove this whole point of how Biden's trying to have it all ways. He's trying to take a stance on nothing and everything all at the same time to please his lunatic base while also saying, no, 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 we still support you, Israel. Because Peter Doocy absolutely nailed Kirby's ass to the wall on this yesterday, and I want to play that extended clip. I also want to play this thing right now from Coleman Hughes, who I talked about last week, who was on The View. And he was on Joe Rogan, and he had one of the better actual honest summaries of what's going on over there and what Hamas is up to and what they're doing and how they're doing it and how they garner sympathy. And as I said, they have to ignore they being media, they being journalists, they being people like Jake Tapper on CNN and everyone else. They have to ignore what happened on October 7th because they have to create that moral equivalency that Israel is just as bad as Hamas. Tony Blinken said that yesterday. Yesterday was one of the more banner days on foreign policy that I've ever seen from a White House in my life. And I know that that sounds like it's hyperbole, but it's not, because there were some pretty consequential things that went down yesterday. Blinken said that Ukraine will become a member of NATO. Well, that's World War III, by the way. And I'm not taking a side on how we should be handling Ukraine or not. I'm simply stating what the facts are. That Ukraine's charter is an attack on one is attack on all. So if they were to admit Ukraine into NATO while this is going on, any attack by Russia then on Ukraine once it's admitted into NATO is an attack on all, and we're at war. That's just the simple fact. And I'm highly, highly skeptical should that happen while this conflict is going on. If it's over with, somehow Russia loses, they get beat back because Russia deserves to lose everything. And in a few years, once Ukraine is whatever and Putin's dead and whatever, and there's kind of this tent, maybe then we can look at that. And I don't think I would have a huge problem with it. If they try to do this now while Russia is actively engaged in hostilities over there, and we say, yep, put them in NATO, and now all of us are attacking Russia, I sure hope somewhere around Europe they have sunscreen at about a level 5,000, because it's going to be a very bad day. Terminator 2. They then also said yesterday, Kirby said, they don't support an independent Taiwan. That they still stand behind the one China policy, which is we don't diplomatically recognize Taiwan, but we also tell China don't move in and do anything militarily to seize it, which is just the dumbest policy in the world. And then on top of that, the president himself supposedly, or someone on his behalf, demanded an immediate ceasefire on behalf of Israel. Those three things have now kind of collided with each other on foreign policy. And as I said yesterday, Biden did this strictly because he has an election coming up. And as I said, by October, he's going to be full BDS, because that's what they're going to be demanding of him now. Calling for ceasefire is not going to be good enough for the Rashida Tlaibs and the Ilhan Omars and the chef Jose Andres and Stephen Colbert's. That's not going to be good enough. Now that he's done what they've told him to do, they know that they can get at him even more, which means they're going to say, you need to sanction Israel or we're still not going to show up and vote. What does the old man do then? So all of this happened yesterday. Here's the clip from Coleman Hughes. And this guy is becoming one of the clear conscience voices, and I don't even want to say on the political right. I just want to say on what is the political good. And he nails exactly what Hamas does, that they're the bully who runs out, they start the fight, and then they run back behind their bigger brother, they run back home to mommy, and they know that the international community and the international media, who's largely sympathetic to them for whatever reason, because they're the oppressed and Israel's the oppressor and all of this shit, they know how to basically fight this propaganda war, and they know how to basically fight this real war. Here's Coleman Hughes on Joe Rogan talking about what makes Hamas so formidable and different than other wars and armies. You've been listening to the Versus Media podcast, free member version. To get the rest of the podcast, additional segments, as well as comments, questions answered on the podcast as part of the community, please consider joining one of my three subscriber tiers. There's a monthly, then there's a yearly, and then there's a founding tier as well, which I will participate in chats with members weekly and offer some other perks. You're always, of course, welcome to stay a free member here, and there's, of course, no obligation to subscribe. But you should, because that's where all the fun actually happens. This is the Versus Media Podcast on Substack, and as usual, don't ever talk to journalists.